But this morning, that's neither here nor there. I'm glad that we are here in the capacity that we are for one purpose. And I hope you're here for one purpose. I hope you're not here because you're here just to please your spouse. I hope you're not here just because you're here to please mom and dad. They might have made you come. You might not have had a choice, but I hope that by the end of this service today, you're here for a specific purpose. And that is to serve a holy, omniscient God. One that is separate from the gods of this world. One that is separate from a religious aspect of the world. One that stands apart as the Almighty. I want and hope and pray that we as God's children today can take encouragement from what we see here today. I want you to understand, this is one of the biggest crowds I've got to preach literally to in many years. Probably since the last time I was here. You see, our churches are going through a cause and effect. The cause is sin. The effect is a dying church. And sin is being brought in, and our churches have taken a beating over this past year. I thought, after Brother Derek texted me and asked me if I'd come, I started replaying 2019 in my mind and all the different things that had happened in the church. And the problem that really just struck me and hurt me the most is there is more hurt and harm to the church than there was growth in the church. And it's depressing. It's depressing. It is when you go around to some of these churches that had 100 or 200 in attendance and you go to preach to them and there's 10 or 15 in the crowd and they say that's their normal crowd. It's depressing. It's depressing when you don't see lost souls saved very often in our churches anymore. It's depressing. It hurts, and we get down, and we don't know where to go. And you say, why are you depressing us so much? Because I want to see reality in what we're doing here today. I want us to remember the importance of the church. I want us to remember the importance of the congregation. I want us to remember the importance of being saved by God's grace. We're going to take a reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to start in the 8th verse here. And I hope that you can take encouragement out of these verses that I did throughout this week as we tried to study for them. We've got to preach later on Facebook and tonight back at Fellowship. But I tried to study for all three at one. I couldn't get past this. And I kept going back to these verses. I kept going back to what God has encouraged me with, even in these discouraging times. You realize our United States of America are not united anymore. We're the separate states of America anymore. That's a fact. It's not a Christian nation anymore. It's a non-denominational nation now. It's not a godly nation. It's a non-godly nation. We see all these things that are coming in. We're impeaching the president, for God's sake. What are we doing anymore? Whether you're Republican, whether you like Donald Trump or not, these are facts. Amen. This is what we're going through. A nation that is pushing God away. And it gets hard and it gets troublesome times for those that are trying to hold on to God and hold on to God with all that we have. It gets hard, doesn't it? It gets discouraging, doesn't it? Yes, we can come in from week to week on Sunday morning and we can get encouraged, but by Monday morning Satan's already torn us apart and we've forgotten everything that we found on Sunday morning and we're back to our discouraging times. We turn on that evil thing called the television. We let news come in. We look at Facebook. We look at different things. Yes, I'm a Facebook preacher, but I don't like it. It's an evil device at times. But I want us to understand this. What comes in comes out. And when we get it in, what we bring in so much is what we illuminate in our lives. But I want us to understand this also, that in these discouraging times that we live in these times, these troublesome times, let's just read the 8th verse. It says, and we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I want us to understand these times that we feel like we're getting beaten up. The church has taken a beating in 2019, and it's continuing to take a beating, and it will continue to take a beating. But in this, we are not destroyed. They can knock us down. They can knock us out, but they can't keep us down. There is no TKO law in the work of the Lord. We might get knocked down more than 3 times. We might get knocked down multiple times. But I want you to understand, God is there to pick us up once again. As we get ready to start the year 2020, are you ready to be picked up in these terrible times that we live in? These troublesome times. And you can say, well, they're not going to get any better. And you want to know what? You're probably right. They're not going to get much better. But that's not an excuse to get discouraged. The Bible says there's going to be great falling away. But that's not an excuse to give up. The Bible says there's going to be people that don't care anymore. But that's not an excuse for this core group members right here not to give up. It should be encouraging for us to dig deeper. It should be encouraging for us to stand stronger. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, when you've done all that you can do to stand. He doesn't say turn around and run away. He said stand. Therefore, stand because of this. Stand because of the truth that you have deep down in your heart. Stand because you know what is real. Be encouraged this morning. You might be knocked down. There might be trouble on every side. I don't know your life. I don't know what's going on in your life. Only you and God know that. There might be all kinds of trouble going on in your life right now. You might have personal issues. You might have financial issues. You might have job issues. I don't know what's going on, but I don't want you to be despaired. I don't want you to be perplexed. I don't want you to be upset. I want you to look to God. And this morning, I want to encourage you this morning. As a church of a true living God, to look to God for His help, for His guidance, for His direction. Proverbs chapter 3 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It says, lean not to thine own understanding. I don't understand why we're going through some of the things we're going through. I don't understand why the church is falling apart at some places as it is. I don't understand how it's hard to find a true church in some areas as it is. I don't understand these things. But I know, as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got to trust in Him. Now this morning, as I come this way, I had many different things that I could have preached on, but I've got to trust in the Lord with what He has for us here today. It doesn't end there with trust, though. It doesn't end with us knowing that we might not understand all the outcomes. But he goes on the next verse. He says, acknowledge Him, acknowledge God, and God will direct your path. The problem that the church is having today is we are not acknowledging God in these troublesome times. We are not looking to Him to guide us. We are wanting to do it on our own, and I'm guaranteeing that's why we're failing as bad as we are. That's why sin is entering into the church house once again. These troublesome times that we live in, these terrible times that we live in, the world is falling apart, and I want you to understand this, you can't stop it. You can't stop it. No matter how hard you try, you cannot stop the world from sinning and going in the direction of sin. But what you can do is take one less out of the equation. You can answer for yourself. I can't answer for you today. The Bible says we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll give an account of what we got, good or bad, in this body. So I can't answer for you. You're going to stand before Him by yourself. How you react to this message today is how you react to this message, not how I make you react to this message. How you go out and serve God is how you serve God, not how I serve God. You will have to answer for yourself. In these troublesome times, are you worried about your children getting an education? Are you worried about them getting a job? Are you worried about them having a house to live in? Or are you concerned about them coming to the knowledge of salvation? Are you concerned about them finding the truth of salvation? Because I want to guarantee you, on every street corner out here, you can find an easy believism church that'll take them down the road that'll lead them to destruction. Are you concerned about their spiritual welfare and not their physical welfare? These troublesome times. We've been knocked down. Knocked down. But we're not knocked out. They can knock us down all they want, but they cannot knock us out. Because greater is He that is in me than he is in this world. Do you truly believe that today? Or is that just scripture we've heard all our lives is going in one ear and out the other? Do you truly know that God is greater than is in you, that saving grace of God? Do you understand the Holy Spirit took abode in your heart when you were saved by His grace? That means that God dwells in you. That means God is in you. Then greater is He, the Holy Spirit of God, that is in you than He is in this world. Amen. Who is in this world? We read in Revelation where Satan was booted out of heaven. Where was he booted to? This world. And the writer there in Revelation said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for great is his wrath. In other words, he knows that his time is short here on this earth. In Revelation chapter 20, I believe it is, around the 8th verse, where Satan gets his due, where he is cast in the lake of fire. He knows it's coming. So what better than destroy the church of the true and living God as much as he possibly can? I want you to know, if you think things are going great, If you think things are just great and hunky-dory-fied, I want you to understand this. Satan has you blinded, and he sees, and he knows he's got you right where he wants you. Because the Scripture's telling me in the last days, troublesome times will come. If you think that we have an eternity till Jesus returns, I want you to understand Satan's got you right where you want him. Right where he wants you. If you think that Jesus Christ is not returning this very moment, Satan has you right where he wants you. Do you understand one thing that we have in this life that has just made us spoiled, rotten little brats is time. We think we have all the time we need. And I want you to know today, you have no time except for what time God has given you, and you don't know how much time that is. Brother Gary mentioned it earlier, the things that you might have planned for this afternoon, you might get to and you might not. I caught myself praying earlier, God, be with us this morning, and God, help me this afternoon as I preach on Facebook, and God, help me Sunday night as I preach at Fellowship. But then I got to thinking, I might not make it to Facebook, and I might not make it to Fellowship. I might not have time to do it. And I'm not talking just because I got a busy schedule. I'm talking because God might take my life today. We're knocked down. We're hurt. But who was it? Muhammad Ali said that he floated like a butterfly and stung like a bee. Oh, but greater is he that is in me. You want to talk about God has the ability to float around like a butterfly. But he has the ability to sting you to where it hurts so bad it'd be like a bee. This morning I hope that we as the church of God would go one-on-one with the great one. It was talked about in Sunday school a little bit, and I'm way off where I was going to be today, but that's all right. It was talked about a little bit in Sunday school about repentance. Well, I hope and pray that you're not part of this mental capacity that believes that repentance stops at salvation. But I want you to understand today that repentance began at salvation. But repentance ends when your eyes behold Jesus Christ. That's when it ends. And praise begins. Because in this life, the Bible tells me that we sin and come short of the glory of God. And one of Satan's greatest ammunition is for us to believe that we do not need to repent anymore. How often do you repent in your life? Y'all might not ever have me back after this. That's okay. That's okay. I got one shot, you know? I got one shot to do what God would have me to do, and that's all I'm guaranteed. And I'm not even guaranteed that half the time. But how often do you repent in your life? And then ask yourself, how often do you sin in your life? I guarantee you, all of us sinned multiple times before we even got here this morning. I know I did just driving here, and that fool in the front of me that wanted to go to the speed limit. I know I sinned many times before we even got to 144 on the way here today. You see, sin doesn't have to be murder. Sin doesn't have to be adultery. Sin doesn't have to be all these big things that we think of. Fornication, it doesn't have to be something that we do to commit ourselves into prison. Sin is a transgression of God's law. If you put anything before God this morning, you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I ask yourself again, when's the last time you repented? We wonder why our churches are hurting so bad. Chronicles 7:14, you all probably quote it better than I can. It tells us, and I'm not going to quote it perfect, but it tells us when God's people humble themselves in His sight, in other words, when we repent unto Him, when we come close to Him, when we turn to Him, then He will heal our land. It's a direct quote from God. I will do this if you do this. But you're going to have to do this before I even think about doing this. Without this, the repentance, there would be none of this. You see, Satan wants us to think just because there's trouble in the land, there's nothing we can do about it. Satan wants us to think that just because there's troubles in churches, we might as well just give up and be done. You guys can look back at 2019. You can see the troubles that has happened in our churches just here in Indianapolis, in Franklin area, let alone outside this area. See, that's one thing about being a traveling minister. Unfortunately, you can see the problems in all our churches. Not just your home church. And our churches are beginning to die off. You might not see it much here at Franklin, here at Faith. You might not see the youth not coming as much. But I guarantee you 97% of the churches I go to out of 100% have no youth in them, and the older members are dying off. Therefore, the church, by nature, is dying off. And you know where it started? It started when we started believing that we had the world by its tail. We could do whatever we wanted. And we let sin enter into the churches, and we didn't take care of it. And there was no discipline for the sin. And when there is no discipline for the sin, if the church is dirty, the whole church is dirty. Oh, Joshua was told they're sitting in the camp. That's what he was told when they went to Ai to battle, and there was nothing there to do. They couldn't win over this little bitty town, Ai. They should have been able to walk in, take the town, and walk out. He didn't send all the troops. But you want to know what happened? God didn't go with them. You know why God didn't go with them? Because Achan had taken the spoils of Jericho, and God told him not to. He brought him back and buried him under his tent. And I want you to understand your secret sin, God knows whether you like it or not. He knows the secrets of your life. No one else knew that Achan done this. I don't even think his family even knew. But he came and he buried the Babylonian spoils that he took there from Jericho, and he took them and he buried them underneath his tent, and no one else knew it but Achan. Got one over on God, didn't I? I seen them there so tempting. And I want you to understand, Satan makes everything look so pleasing to his eye. He does. He makes sin look good. That's his job. That's what he's been doing for many years. He makes sin look good. And he makes it look right. That looked right to Achan. Now come on, men. How many of us think we need to take care of our family? We do, don't we? God's given us a responsibility to take care of our family. Well, it won't hurt if we do this. God told us not to, but we got to take care of our family, you know? I can almost see Achan's reasoning in his mind already as he's seen this stuff. If I do this, my family's taken care of. I don't have to worry about anything anymore. Much as we do in the year 2019, almost 2020. Oh, but he took it. You know, not every job is a godly job that we need to be partaking in. We need to be where God would have us to be, men, women. But he took it, and he buried them under his tent. And that's exactly why God did not go with them to battle Ai. He told Joshua, he said, I'll tell you why I didn't go. There's sin in the camp. I want you to understand, as God's church, if there's sin in the church and we're not taking care of it and we're looking the other way, and I don't care if it's your family or someone else's family, but if we're allowed it to happen in the church is going to lose its power because God is not going to be with it. Amen. And it's time we clean it up. Why do you think we're fighting terrible times? Why is it so hard anymore? We're fighting against an almighty God instead of who we should be fighting against. Paul said he prayed 3 times for God to take away that thorn in the flesh. God told him, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Continue moving forward. And it does not say that Paul ever brought that up again, but he continued moving on. But our problem today is God removed that thorn. God says, my grace is sufficient. 5 minutes later, God removed the thorn. We try to demand God to do what we want Him to do. That's not the way it works. He is God. One thing our churches have forgotten, or our people have forgotten, is we're the servant. We're the servant to the master. The master is not the pastor. The master is not the congregation. The master is the one in charge, and that is God. What manner of man this is, they asked, when he commanded the seas to be still. It is the master. He has power. He has control. We read it in Sunday school in the 28th chapter of Matthew. I believe it's the 18th verse there where he says, "All power is given to me." That word power is also translated as authority. So all power and authority is given unto him. Who's him? Jesus Christ. Where at? In heaven and in earth. So he has all power and all control and all authority over it all. Amen. You think he still doesn't have power over this world? You think he still doesn't have control? The Bible says that this earth is just prepared for his judgment, his wrath, no one else's. I'm all for saving the planet. Now, I'm not going to go very much out of my way to do it. I'll be honest with you. I don't think about it constantly. But I think we are to take care of what God has given us. But I guarantee you, you are not going to destroy this world. I guarantee you, all these different countries can have these nuclear bombs, but I guarantee you, they are not going to destroy this world. It is God's to give, it's God's to take. So let us serve God. This morning, this trying time that we live in, what is more important to you today? The distress that we're in? The perplexity of what's going on around us? It perplexes my mind to think about what is going on in this world today. It perplexes my mind to see what's going on in my own family, let alone in the whole world. I don't understand. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand. Where this new generation is thinking sometimes. And that's fine. My dad didn't understand where my generation was thinking at times. I finally have realized these gray hairs aren't just gray hairs. I'm starting to get older. And I'm starting to turn into my parents not understanding some of the things. But some of the things that this newer generation is doing is just plain old ridiculous. I'm sorry. If we allow our churches to continue in the way they are going, and we do not stand up for the old ways, we are going to lose our church. Amen. I come to you this morning looking at a blessed congregation. An extremely blessed congregation. Here next week I'll be going to a church that when I first went up there had 185 in attendance. We'll go up there next week and we'll be lucky to see 20 to 25. And I guarantee you, if I was to take a poll, that 75 to 80% of them were over the age of 60. And yet we don't see where the problem lies. We don't see the younger generation as valuable as they are here today. You are very blessed. Very blessed. In these troublesome times where these teenagers can get, and I want you to take them and cuddle on them and curl them in and hold them as a hen does or her chicks and cover them with your wings. Protect them with all that you have. Because I guarantee you, the world doesn't care what you believe or what you don't believe. The world is going to impose their beliefs no matter what. You don't believe me? Just look out in the world. When it's almost going to be a hate crime to preach the truth of God's word, but it's all right for them to push whatever they want into our face, it's wrong. It's wrong. People, these times that we live in are depressing. And I don't want to end on a depressing note. Church, we do need to repent. We need to turn to God. For the Bible says that He is just and faithful for to give those that confess unto Him. You have secret sins. Let's all be honest with ourselves. We have secret sins that only we know about, but more than that, God knows about it. If you don't believe me, just read about David and Bathsheba and read what happened when Nathan went to David. David didn't think anybody knew that he had an affair. David didn't think anybody knew that he was having a child out of wedlock. David didn't think anybody knew that he committed murder. Premeditated murder. Boy, Nathan came to him. And I truly believe with all my heart today that God didn't really tell Nathan exactly what all was going on when he went over there. But Nathan just took the sermon. I don't know what all is going on in your life today, but here's the sermon. If there's secret sin in your life, get it out. Do not let it ooze its way into the church. Get it out now while you can. I think we've forgotten, as God's children, this altar is a convenient place for us even to come pray. It's convenient for us to come beg God to forgive us, not to re-save us. We're eternally secure in His arms. Yes, even though we make mistakes, we are still eternally secure in His arms. But what about those that are around us? I'm running out of time. I prayed God wouldn't let me go very long this morning. He says in the 10th verse, says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also in Jesus might be made manifest in our body. The suffering of Christ. May the world see our sufferings not be worldly sufferings, but spiritual agonizing about the things that are going on in the world today. May they see us suffering for the cause of God and not for the cause of Scott today. May I suffer the things I suffer for because I'm standing strong in God and not strong in Scott. It's not in Scott we trust. It's in God we trust. And that word trust means to totally entrust our whole life in His hands. That's what it means to truly believe in Him. May the world see that in us. May they not see the things of the world consuming us. May they not be seeing me chase after the Almighty Dollar, but may they see me chasing after the Almighty God. And Him being part of my life. And Him being what I want. And Him being what I desire. We want to see our churches grow. We want to see lost souls be concerned. Well, it's time that we as God's children are concerned. It's time that we grow and understand that these things in our life need to be taken out. And God being in. I made one comment when we were in Sunday school. I've seen a difference in the people. And I was told I'd always desire that. And I did. I desired that. But I've seen a difference. I dare you today to be different. Be different than the world. Let the world see a difference in you to the point to where they want and desire that because they know it's real and it's not fake. I'm tired of fake religion. I'm tired of fake children of God. I want the real thing. Amen. I don't want the people to see me on Sunday morning. I go to church. I'm sorry, but that's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. Going to church on Sunday morning is not Christianity. Going to church on Sunday night is not Christianity. Going to church at all doesn't mean you're a Christian. Following God and following Christ, that's what a Christian is. He's a Christ follower. Why were the disciples first called, or apostles first called, Christians there in Antioch? Because they're following the things after Christ. They see the difference in them. False Christianity is killing us today. And I hope that we can grow in the hands of God. I want to read this before we close. He says in the 17th verse, says, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let us hold on to the things which are not seen. Let us hold on to our everlasting God. I don't know about you, but I've never physically seen Him with my eyes before. I've never reached out and physically touched Him with my hands. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He is real. I know that He is here today. I know that He is reaching out to us, His church today, and saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, be yoked beside me. Walk with me is what He's saying. Why? My burden is light. Why is His burden so light? We make it so hard. But He says, my burden is so light, but we make serving Him so hard. Why? It's because when we realize that we are yoked with Him and He is beside us, His burden is so light. And it's easy to carry. Why? Because He's the one carrying it. David said, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. We are His instruments in the battle, but the battle is the Lord's. So this morning, as we end the year 2019 and we get ready to go into year 2020, let's not do another year as we have in the past. Let's learn from our mistakes. Let's look back on 2019. Let's realize what we've done wrong. You know, this book right here, this Bible, we read about the children of Israel, and we've seen everything that they did wrong. But if we don't learn from their mistakes, they're not going to help us at all. If this generation comes up, does not learn from our mistakes, it's not going to help them at all. It's just going to be a mistake made after another mistake. So let us learn from the year 2019. Let us learn how we let the walls down. Let us learn how we forgot to pray. Let us learn how this world became more important than God. Let us learn how sin came into the camp. Let us learn so therefore we can defend against it in the year 2020. If the Lord allows us another year. I'm up here talking like we got another year. Don't we do that though every day? Don't we do that? James said, it's not about what you're going to do tomorrow. Oh, we can plan what we want to do tomorrow all day long. But tomorrow might not come for any of us. Tomorrow might not come for any of us. So as we go into this new year, let us look to God for His leadership, for His guidance. Let us look to God to give us what we stand in need of. How many do this? Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom of heaven. Seek you first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. How many of us are worried about the things that will be added unto us before we seek the kingdom of heaven? I think we need to reverse it once again. And every morning when we get up, every afternoon before we eat lunch, every evening before we go to bed, we need to seek the kingdom of heaven, that His will be done. God bless you is my prayer. I love you all. I want to see these young people that are here lost, I want to see them saved. But you know what the Bible tells me? When Zion travails, when the church gets concerned, to where that concern brings forth pains as labor, where that labor brings forth children will be born. I'm not talking about a physical birth, I'm talking about a spiritual birth. When we get concerned, no, we can't save them. We can't save them. And truly, we cannot stop them from being saved because it's between them and God and them and God only. But what we can do is we can hinder them from believing in an almighty God. When it's all woe is me, instead of praise be to Him, we hinder them from seeing the reality that even in the hard times, the troublesome times, the distressful times, God is still on the throne. That's what matters. I will never forget this. And then I'll turn the service back over to Brother Gary. One of my best friends growing up. I don't even talk to him anymore. Much at all. But we had an instance in my family to where my sister and my two nephews were in a bad wreck. My youngest nephew was in the emergency room. And I was stuck here in Indianapolis. And they were down there in Franklin, Kentucky. And I'd call mom and dad and get updates. But one thing my best friend noticed, he said, every time you got off the phone, the first thing you said was, God be with them. It wasn't about the situation because I could not change it. My parents were there and they could not change it. My sister was there. She could not change it. Only one that had power and authority in that troublesome time was God. And so the only thing I could do was say, God be with them, and lay it in His hands. And still praise Him no matter what happened. My nephew got worse before he got better. And when he got worse, all I could say was, thank you, God, for giving him one more day. You see, it's not about us. It's not about us. If coming this morning was about you or pleasing someone else, you're here for the wrong reasons. It's all about God. It's all about God. It's all about praising Him. We give Him honor and glory. Our light will shine in the darkness of this world. But we've got to give Him honor and glory in the bad times, as we do in the good. as we do in the good. I ask you to pray for me that in this new year, I will take the secret sins in my life and I will get rid of them. And we all have them. If we're all honest with ourselves, there's things only you and God know about. They might be past. They might be from a long time ago that you have never let go of and you've never given them to God. I hope you know now is the time. As again I say, I don't know your lives. But remember, God knows everything about your life. Whether it's been the past, the present, or the future to come. He knows. So why don't we just be honest with Him instead of trying to hide everything from Him? And give Him honor and praise no matter what happens in our life. Glorify Him and let His light so shine in this darkness of a world that we cannot change. We cannot change it, but we can sure be an influence on it. If it's just one lost soul that you're an influence on, wouldn't it make it worth all the misery that you go through? All the trouble you go through? There's a lady named Rita that I've never met, and I don't know if I ever will meet. She lives in Lafayette, Indiana. Last July, she texted us about a sermon that we preached on Facebook. And we went back and forth quite a bit, me and her, Brother James, about different things. And then went silence for a little while. And then she came back. We thought we scared her off. She came back and said, "Something's changed." She said, "I was praying and something changed." You know, that one afternoon, sitting there in my recliner, on the internet, going back and forth with scriptures of the Lord, talking with her, made worth all the cussing outs I've got, all the threats I've got, all the people trying to ban me from Facebook. It made it worth every bit of it that one afternoon. Every bit of it. And you know what? I haven't heard another one yet. Yet, I say, because I got faith that's in God's hands. And yet every week we still get cussed out. Every week we still get threatened. Every week we still get people trying to shut us up on Facebook. But you know what? There's going to be that one, once again, that's going to make it worth it. If we just don't give up. Church, don't give up. Don't give in to the things of this world. Don't give up. Ezekiel looked across in that vision and seen a valley of dry bones. And that's what I see in our churches anymore. It feels like we preach to a bunch of dry bones at times. But he said, God asked him, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel said, "Only you know, Lord." And that's how I feel a lot of times when I go to these churches. I wonder, can these bones live once again? And only you know, Lord. Oh, but he said, prophesy to them. Preach to them. Don't give up on them. And I haven't given up. And I won't give up. But he said, go, preach, prophesy to the wind. And the wind came through. And when the Spirit came through, the bones came together, the sinews came together, everything came together in the fashion and form that it should be. And they rose as a mighty, exceeding army of God once again. Church, it's time for us to rise up once again. Not as a church, but as a mighty, exceeding army of God. And realize that God is the commander-in-chief. And follow Him out to battle. And fight. And fight. And fight till we can't fight no more. When you read the armor of God, He never does say anything to protect the back of the individual. You know why? Because we are to face the war head on. We are not to turn and run, but we are to face the war and fight with everything that we have. And then He will protect us by His mighty armor. God bless you, ours on prayer.